AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. Joining us now is Congressman Austin Scott from Georgia, the 8th District of Georgia. He's a member of the House Ag Committee that is headed by, as we are discovering, his good friend David Scott. It seems like it's been a rough start to the new Congress for the House Ag Committee. Ranking Member Thompson from Pennsylvania has been very vocal about the lack of bipartisanship that he is seeing in the House. What's happening, Congressman?
Well, look, GT's a great guy. David Scott and I have been friends for over 20 years. And, you know, I think what you've got is a situation where orders are being given from up top in the Democratic Party, and language was not shared with the Republicans on the Ag Committee until about 24 hours before the committee hearing. And we had a 7-hour committee hearing, about 10 amendments that we actually voted on in the committee, one of which was accepted on disaster relief. But they pretty much rejected they wrote the legislation without input from us, which is something that has historically not happened in the Ag Committee. And they flat out rejected the vast majority of the amendments, and they were pretty common sense amendments when you get right down to it. But we believe that they're gonna use reconciliation to pass a COVID relief package with zero Republican votes, and there are a lot of the things in that package that concern us and Americans need to be aware of. And I know we're gonna have a chance to talk about one of those right now.
Yeah, absolutely, we will. We heard from incoming USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack that addressing inequality is a priority for USDA. Chairman Scott has outlined his priority for the House Ag Committee right here on AgriTalk for us: food security, climate change, dealing with inequality. I want to get to that, and we will get to that. But first, let's address. I think you want to address the funding issue for CCC first. Is that right?
Well, that's certainly one of the issues. I mean, I was in high school the last time the Commodity Credit Corporation's loan authority was increased. If we had simply put an inflation factor on it, it would be about $60 billion right now, and it's still in the mid-30s. And so that's something that we have been working on. But there's nothing else in the budget that has been stagnant for, you know, however many decades that is, from you know, the late 80s up to and until now. And so it is, you know, a little better than 30 years that it's been since the Commodity Credit Corporation funding level has been updated. And that's something that we need to do. We should have done it a long time ago, and it's something we're going to continue to work on. And you may see that happen in a bipartisan manner in a small bill as we push forward over the next couple of years.
Okay. Pro Farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer is with us as well. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, your counterpart, John Bozeman, yesterday told the National Cotton Council that he's worried about the new farm bill funding, because as the climate change policy may threaten some of the funding in the CCC, and that probably plays right into your measure supported by others to boost that, you know, borrowing authority to $68 billion. Because, you know, Bozeman said yesterday, you'll hear that climate change is paid for, but it doesn't cost anything, but he's concerned.
Well, that's right. And one of the other concerns we have is the $30 billion sitting at USDA that was earmarked for producers that has now had a hold put on it. And it appears that they may be shifting that towards some type of climate change funding. And so, as you know, the majority of the farmers around the country have had a very hard time with cash flow because of commodity prices, whether it be coronavirus related or simply market related. And so they unfortunately have been dependent on the payments, and no farmer that I know wants to be dependent on the payments. But without those payments, a lot of people would not be farming today.
What do you think the odds are that we will see that increase in funding for CCC, Congressman?
I honestly don't know. I'm disappointed in the way things have gone so far. We are halfway through February. I have had only one committee meeting. If you look at the schedule that the Democrats have put out, we're not in Washington much this year, and so I think very little legislation actually passes. If we are able to get it, it will come in some type of larger bill. In the end, we may get it through the House, but I don't know. As a single bill, but in the end, if it actually gets signed into law, it would have to be part of a bigger piece. I don't expect the Dems to negotiate on behalf of it, and so it just depends on if they continue to use reconciliation or if they use a bipartisan process.
Okay. Catherine Ferguson, who is the USDA chief of staff, has said that USDA will back the Farmers of Color Act legislation. Congressman, what's your take on the proposed legislation, Farmers of Color?
Okay, so let's keep a couple of things in mind here. One is, okay. In 1999, the Pickford v. Glickman case started, and between 1999 and 2011, $2.2 billion was paid out from the federal government to settle claims of discrimination. So there has already been a settlement of $2.2 billion that the last appropriation was in 2010. They put language before us yesterday that they have inside the COVID relief bill. So again, I want you to keep in mind, this is inside the COVID relief bill,
right?
That says that, the secretary shall provide a payment in an amount equal to 120% of the outstanding indebtedness of each socially disadvantaged farmer. Now, these are direct loans, mm-hmm. through the USDA, and these are also the larger loans that are bank loans that are guaranteed by, that have some type of guarantee from the USDA. So again, you're talking about 120%. The only people that are eligible for the debt relief, which I'm opposed to it, whether it's for, I would be opposed to this no matter who it was for. Mm-hmm. But there's a list of six groups: African-American, American Indian, Alaskan Natives, Asian, Hispanic, or Pacific Islanders. So if you fall into that group, then the USDA is going to forgive the loans and give you 20% of whatever your outstanding loan balance was. So again, this is not just direct loans. This is loans that have a USDA guarantee. So you may be talking about, you will be talking about some extremely large loans. This is by definition discrimination. And in the end, when this thing goes to court through a reverse discrimination suit, the federal government would end up having to pay them all. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so legally, if they do this, you're going to see a reverse discrimination suit that'll be brought, and USDA will end up having to pay them all the notes off plus 20%. It is, it's something that they're not willing to talk about. They're not willing to look at the facts. And quite candidly, it is horrible for agriculture. I mean, if your opponent gets one, if your competitor, I should say, gets 120% of their loan balance paid to them in cash, I mean, how do you as a farmer compete with that? So, you know, in South Georgia and in Florida, there are a tremendous number of Hispanic farmers, and you know, they're part of the community. We love them, but let's be honest. I mean, if someone steps in and pays off 120% of your debt, and they don't do it
right
for your competitor, how do you compete with that?
Right,
you simply can't. And so, we're very concerned about the language. And one of the things I want Americans to be paying attention to is this is in the COVID relief bill. Mm-hmm. So as they're talking on the TV, on the mainstream media about, hey, people need to be supporting this legislation because we're going to do a better job of getting, you know, vaccinations out to the general public, there's a very small percentage of this COVID relief bill that is actually going to vaccinations. There's a lot of other things like this in there that people are not aware of that they need to be.
Right.
Congressman, I know this is a sensitive issue. You've already said that. We all agree. Sure. But is this one of the reasons why, at least I'm hearing, the change in focus on words such as equity versus the prior equality? Because equity presumes before someone else. And I see this shift going on. And then in the House Judiciary Subcommittee next Wednesday is going to have a hearing to discuss a bill, H.R. 40, to, quote, establish a commission to study and consider a national apology and proposal for reparations for the institution of slavery, among other provisions. This is another key issue ahead, is it not?
Well, yes, but there's a difference in someone giving a verbal apology and someone sending a check for 120% of some of someone's outstanding loan balances because of the color of their skin. If you listen to the debate, I mean, I ask about a friend of mine's wife, and the bottom line is, they acknowledged it would depend on, if she was a woman of color. And I asked, if she was from Mexico, would they be forgiven? I think Mexico, and they said yes. And I asked, well, if she's from Canada, and they said no. And so what they've done in this is, by definition, discrimination. If you're not one of the six people, one of the six races or ethnicities that they outline in the legislation, and you have a USDA loan, you're going to be treated differently than the six races and ethnicities that are outlined in the legislation. And so I would tell you that discrimination is wrong no matter what. I do not think that, according to the courts and I would tell you the Constitution, that we as Congress are supposed to treat anybody different because of the color of their skin or their ethnicity. And this bill, by definition, does that. And so what we're seeing now that I did not think we would see in this country is a move towards reparations. And if you get in, I mean, candidly, to pay off somebody's note and give them a 20% bonus on top of however much they had borrowed, I mean, by definition, that is what that is.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because, this could, the same logic, Congressman, could be applied to the effort to, forgive student loans, could it not, to go that extra 20%?
Well, it could absolutely be done that, or they could say, well, we're going to forgive them for people who went to public colleges but not private colleges, or we're going to relieve them for people who went to colleges, these colleges, and not faith-based colleges, as an example. So I think that what you've got here is a very dangerous. It's not even a path that we're on anymore. It's actually a road, because it's pushing ahead. And I can tell you the Democratic Party doesn't have to have a single Republican vote to pass this stuff. I'm hopeful that there's some Democrats that still have some common sense and recognize the damage this does to America. And but if you do this, and I said this in the committee hearing, if you're going to take the loans of African Americans, American Indians, Alaskan Natives, Asians, Hispanic, and Pacific Islanders, and you're going to give them 120% of whatever their outstanding loan balance is on USDA farm loans, then what's to stop you from doing it on housing loans? And I can tell you, this is a dangerous, dangerous path. It's a dangerous path for the country. And candidly, I think it's illegal and unconstitutional. And certainly if someone has been discriminated against, that's wrong. And we've got, and I think the magnitude that you had a $2.2 billion settlement through the Pickford cases is indicative that these things happened and that was settled. So when did this last discrimination happen? Because Barack Obama, Joe Biden, right, and candidly Secretary Vilsack were the ones in control for six of the last 10 years.
Right. Right. Okay. Jim, have you got your issues addressed there?
Yes, but the overarching thing, again, this is not a spirit of goodwill, Congressman, going into, and I know it's not going to happen right away, but a new farm bill debate, because this gets into the must-have funding issues. And I think this adds complexity and partisanship, where the committees in the past have mostly been bipartisan. Am I on the right track here?
Right. No, yeah. I think you're absolutely on the right track. And so I'm fortunate to serve on two committees, the Armed Services Committee and the Ag Committee, both of which have historically done things in a bipartisan manner. And candidly, I think that that most of the Ag Committee members prefer to do things in a bipartisan manner, whether they be Democrat or Republican. But I think that they're getting the orders from the from up top. And, you know, this is coming from the White House and through the speaker, and they're being told what they're going to do. And if you look at the clip, you'll see where when we won, when I say we, when Republicans had an amendment accepted, it was Cindy Axne, a Democrat from Iowa, voted yes so that the producers that were impacted by the storms in 2020 in her district could get a disaster payment. And if you go back and you watch the committee, I mean, they spent about an hour you know, trying to figure out how to undo that vote when, you know, just because they didn't want a single Republican amendment to pass. And I think that's indicative of what's going to happen. And that's what we're hearing is happening in all committees.
And don't you think there's a possibility that that language, the approved amendment, could be stripped out of the final bill?
Absolutely. I expect they will strip it out in the Rules Committee. I mean, Jim McGovern from the Rules Committee was sitting on the Ag Committee. I mean, I expect that he will strip it out of the final bill.
Okay. All right, Congressman, you've been very generous with your time. I know you've got a busy day. I want to thank you for your time and just let you know that when you've got a message that needs to get out to farmers, this is the place to do it, okay? You let us know.
All right. Thank you so much, and we're very concerned about what we're seeing and what's coming down the pipe.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That is Congressman Austin Scott from the 8th District of Georgia.